And as soon as I DM'd you in Slack and I asked you to come on, you were like, can we talk about Matt Ryan? And I was like, oh, hell, never mind. Episode canceled. It's over.
It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk Live. Today, we are going to talk about trade candidates, players you need to be getting on and off your rosters before the Week 5 action kicks off. I got a special guest in the house today. We got Joe Metz from FTN Network over here. I know it's not Adam, but I found somebody. I looked really far and wide to find somebody pretty for today's show. Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, I'm happy to be here. You know, I was with Adam on Sunday. Now I get the D-Bro experience. Unfortunately, we aren't going to be talking much Falcons, so that might hamper the upside of this podcast, but I'm excited to be here as always.
Oh, man, as soon as I DM'd you in Slack and I asked you to come on, you were like, can we talk about Matt Ryan? And I was like, oh, hell, never mind. Episode canceled. It's over. We don't need to have this, man. But always a good time to have you in the house, man. Can you walk people through, like, a lot of the stuff you got going on over at FTN? Because I know you got your hands in a lot of cookie jars, my friend. Yeah. NBA was popping off last night, baby. The Discord was lit.
Yeah, it was fun. So I, in terms of NFL, I'll do betting articles, prize picks, waivers every week. And the Thursday-Monday slate that comes out on Thursday, I'll have that article every week. And then NBA is, like, here, and it sneaks up on you really quickly because of football. But because of how successful the second day of preseason was, we are extending the early bird offer at $224.99 for an extra number of spots. To say last night was a success was an understatement. Connor from FTN won $25K. I saw ROI from like $6 into $2,000. Like, you name it. NBA season is here, even if it's just preseason. So I highly recommend jumping on board. It's a ton of fun.
It is awesome, man. And that's one of the things we have to get out there. Like, everybody that was walking with me, holding hands with me through the NFL preseason, the grind is real, but that payoff and that ROI is real as well. So if you have not gotten signed up for FTN Daily, FTN Fantasy yet, please look at this banner below. You see this ticker going across. Promo code FTC saves you 10% at sign up. And the other great thing we got going on right now, and Joe, I know you talked about this. It's been out there. We got a giveaway, man. People can get entered to win this by getting signed up for FTN today. And we are giving away a trip to Vegas. So tickets to the game, flight, hotel accommodations, all of these different things. And depending on, and this is up on FTN Daily, the homepage, head there today, get signed up with the promo code FTC, save the 10%. And depending on what level of FTN subscription you get, I mean, this is going to depend on how much you're entered for this giveaway, man. So got to get in on this today, and I don't want to bury this too much, man, because we're talking trade candidates, players who are getting on and off the rosters. We got a laundry list of names. Kick us off here, dude. Like, who's the first player that you're like, okay, come on. Look, come on to the squad.
I can't quit him, and I'm not going to now, but I'm trading for Odell Beckham.
Tell me why.
Been back for 2 weeks, leads the Browns in targets on the year. A lot of that has to do with the injuries they've suffered in the throughout the early weeks. You know, Jarvis Landry going down, the emphasis they're putting on using both running backs quite a bit now. We've seen Kareem Hunt's role grow quite a bit. But at the end of the day, Odell's the alpha. He looks healthy. The routes he's running are extremely crisp. And as long, even with Jarvis Landry coming back, he's going to lead the team in target share. And if you have 15 targets over the last 2 weeks, Baker also, especially in week five, looked bad. Like, ugh. Baker missed him on, I think he had about a broken 65-yard touchdown that Baker completely missed him on. And there was another end zone target that Baker completely missed him on as well. He's looking his way on those quality targets as well. Because he hasn't delivered, even in PPR, like, his production is just not there. So if you're looking for people that just kind of look at the surface level box scores, they're going to be disappointed. There's a good chance that Odell's not even starting for them week to week. So I think you can, I'm not going to say you can get him for a box of rocks, but I don't think Odell's price is what it should be relative to his upside. And he's a player that I think you'll agree, we always want to get in on before the boom. And he's a player that can have a very big boom when it comes. We've seen it before.
We should have saw it last week. Damn you, yeah. Baker. Yeah. Like, he airmailed him on a slant for a touchdown and a long broken play.
Yeah.
Like, Odell is, like, looking for the ball, and he's like, just falls over himself.
Yeah.
Because it was so poorly placed. Like, if that boom happened last week, there's no shot you get Odell. Especially considering his first game back, he saw a 30% target share over, I want to say it was 35-40% of the air yards.
Yep.
Like, those are elite numbers. And I get it. Cleveland is super slow. I get that their passing rate is not amazing. But the amount of this offense through the air that Odell has the ability to grasp is massive. And I love that call, Mets, because we talked about him, I think before he even came back, week one or week two, Adam and I were discussing, like, you need to be trading for Odell because the schedule opens up too. So, love that call out, man. I think that you got to be going and getting Odell where you can because the upside for him does not match the price that you're going to have to pay to get him onto your roster. And another guy that I think that it's the same kind of conversation. And I'm not going to say that I've never been in on this player, but I have all of my love list guys, and Cam Akers obviously is one of them. I'm going to tell people to go out there and you got to get Darrell Henderson. One of the reasons for this is he's getting all of the work, all of it, legit. So he comes back from the rib injury last week and he rolls back into it. And it's like, was Sonny Michel going to be part of this backfield? Is he going to be more involved because of the injury? Hell no. Darrell Henderson played damn near every snap. The two full games he's had, 96% of snaps, 92% of snaps. He hasn't had the boom week yet. And we talked about this before we went live, Mets. Like, the running back position is a damn wasteland.
It's bad.
And you got Darrell
really
Henderson
bad.
Sitting out here. It's terrible, man. It's horrible. And you got Darrell Henderson sitting out here. He hasn't had a boom week. But every single week he's been active, RB16, RB11, RB16. He's the RB21 overall, and that's with missing a damn game. He's playing all the snaps, top five scoring offense. I feel like you got to go out there and get him right now for the role that he has and the upside that he has. And we haven't seen the upside yet because once the boom happens, good luck. You're not getting him. People are, especially considering how bad the running back position is right now, people will hold on to him and they'll be like, good luck. I ain't getting rid of him yet. I mean, what are your thoughts on Henderson before we get the next player up in here?
I like Henderson a lot. The really only hindrance with Henderson is the injury history, but that's obviously not something that I ever want to base my decision strictly off of. My biggest concern after Sonny Michel's 20 carries against Tampa, we obviously didn't expect him to be extremely productive given Tampa's front seven. My big concern going into week four was that, okay, like, they were willing to give Sony 20 carries. If he's warmed up now, is this going to be more of a 65-35, 60-40 split? It wasn't at all. Darrell Henderson got the touches. Sony Michel also lost a fumble in week four, which does not help him in terms of playing time. So as long as Henderson's on the field, he's going to get 15 to 20 touches. He's going to be the red zone threat. And it's only a matter of time before that multi-touchdown game comes. So you want to be ahead of the curve here.
Well, and they could come this week. Seattle has not been good versus running back. So
Correct. We're
talking about these moves. I mean, we're bringing up all these players. You got to be listening to the show right now and be like sending out offers right now. Because if you wait until Thursday, you wait until we get closer to Sunday, you might have missed the window. Like, it could be closed. So give me another player that you got to get on your roster, Mets.
Calvin Ridley is one of them, and I knew I would be able to sneak some kind of man.
You got it. You got some you got some Atlanta Falcons love in here.
Calvin Ridley, I mean, he hasn't been bad by any means, especially in PPR format. Seven or more catches in three straight games. He's had 10-plus targets in three straight games. Seventh in the entire NFL in air yards. Has a 27% target share. Makes up for 47% of teams' air yards. Like, the underlying numbers are there.
Mm-hmm.
He plays with Matt Ryan, and he only has one touchdown in four games, has yet to cross the 100-yard threshold, but his upcoming schedule, he has the Jets in week five. He has Miami, who is a formidable defense, but then he goes, like, he'll get Dallas in week 10. He has Jacksonville in week 12, Tampa week 13, Detroit week 16, San Francisco in week 15, who we've seen to be leaky this year. There are a lot of favorable matchups here. you don't have to believe in Matt Ryan. You don't have to believe in the Falcons mm-hmm. offense, but you have to believe in volume. At the end of the day, if he's getting 10 to 13, 15 targets a game, scoring production is going to come. He's not going to be cheap. Like, you're going to have to give up a good amount for him. But the point is, you're going to have to give up exponentially less than you would have had if you tried to trade for him ahead of week one. And that's what I think the appeal is, because everyone, you know, wide receiver one overall upside was the tout going into this year. It's still there, but it's not priced
still there.
Like it's there. It's not priced like it's there. So I think this is a perfect and one of the only buying opportunities we might have on Ridley this season.
I like that. And you talked about it. They have the Jets coming up this week. I mean, have their defense has actually surprised me some. Their cornerback play has actually been surprising. So they've only given up, the lowest number of passing touchdowns in the NFL so far this season. But Ridley's got the talent. I mean, he can still dust these dudes. As long as Matt Ryan has time in the pocket, that can happen. We're talking about moves you got to make right now. I think that this is one specifically you need to be making before this week, like we're talking about, man. And so I like the Ridley call. Two other players I want to get up in here. Mention them real fast. If you could get CeeDee Lamb off of anybody, go get him. People are worried about it. They're worried about Dallas. They see them going run heavy and stuff like that. Amari Cooper is banged up. He's got the hip. He's got the hamstring. If he goes out, CeeDee Lamb's going to eat. He gets more of this offense. Much less of Dallas. We get Gallup coming back. Like this is still a high-flying offense. I know they've been running the ball a ton, but a lot of that, some of that's matchups. And CeeDee Lamb is still going to be very, very productive. Like, you're talking about underlying metrics. Dude still has a 23% target share, 36% of the air yards. These are things we want. Those are the type of numbers you gravitate to, especially if they're coming off of two back-to-back down weeks. But the player I really, really want to discuss here, and Lord help me, I feel like I got to watch out. Like, this almost makes me hit the gag button. But the running back position is this bad, Mets. Yeah. Lombardi Lenny, got to go trade for him. I got to mention it here. Like, Tampa's offensive line is underperforming. You got Lenny coming off a game where he got 23 touches. He's gotten three or more targets in every single game. Geo is not involved in this offense outside of, like, passing down work and in the two-minute offense. Leonard Fournette is on a really good offense. The offensive line, like I said, has been underperforming. And he's got good matchups, and they start this week, man. Like, for a guy that I think is going to get 20 touches, at least from what we've seen, near on a weekly basis, like, Rojo has not been much of a thing. I get that he got the touchdown last week. Besides that, he wasn't factoring into that game. You look at Leonard Fournette's upcoming schedule. He's got Miami, who has been eviscerated by every damn running back all across the NFL, the 32nd in open field yards. Then he gets Philly, who have not been a good run defense. They're allowing people to run all over them this year. Then you got the Bears. The Saints are not a good matchup. Then you get the Washington Footballs and the Giants. This is a good schedule. And we're talking about, I mean, legit, this is six teams. Five of those six are good or plus matchups. So I think Leonard Fournette's a guy that, like, people, I don't want to say they're sleeping on his volume, but we could see, last week we saw, like, he was the workhorse. Like, that's his upside in this offense.
I think the big thing going into the season was the skepticism regarding his passing game involvement because of the presence of Geo. There was so much hype that Geo's going to be James White in Tampa. Just hasn't happened. And Geo's struggling with health, too. Mm-hmm. Leonard Fournette is a problem. He is involved in the passing game. And at the end of the day, it's such a fickle position right now. He has a lot more value. People don't like to like Leonard Fournette. It's just a thing.
I don't like to like Leonard Fournette. I don't want to tell people, but this is like where the numbers and everything are telling me. Like, he played 82% of the snaps last week. I don't want to be here telling people to go get Leonard Fournette, but this is where we're at, Mets. Like, this is the real. You got to put your biases aside and, like, okay, what are the matchups saying? What are the numbers saying? What's the dearth of the rest of the position right now? Like, you got to go get Leonard Fournette, especially if you're hurting a running back. You have, one of these, like, middling wide receiver threes on your roster, and you're like, okay, could I flip maybe something coming off a good game, a game where maybe that doesn't fit the rest of their season outlook, you know? Like, if people are high on, I mean, take your pick. Like, I would be flipping a lot of these wide receiver threes. Like, if you could get rid of, nobody wants Juju Smith-Schuster, but anybody, like, high on some of these rookies, like Kadarius Toney, who have you, you could package two of these guys together. Somebody you just got off the waiver wire. Well, some of the players we're going to discuss later and trade away, I would send all of them away for Leonard Fournette. Before we flip us over and turn this on its head and talk about some players to trade away, gotta sit here and shout out Chris Meany. He has got a fantastic article up over at FTN Fantasy right now, walking through, dude, he has got like a laundry list of names here listed. Players in multiple formats you need to be concerned for, you need to stash, you need to be trading for, in Dynasty as well. So you gotta go check that out. Growing through Meany's article here, there's a few call-outs, man. I mean, like, I definitely agree with, he has AJ Green as a sell-high candidate in here. Definitely agree with that. I don't know if AJ Green is, one, going to hold up for the rest of the season and see this type of efficiency for the full season. Yes, he's played extremely well to this point. But if you can get rid of AJ Green, like, I'd be trading AJ Green away to get Leonard Fournette in a heartbeat.
100%.
Mets... Before we get into our trade-away candidates, I got to mention this out of Meany's article, and I want to roll through these pretty fast and, and get your thoughts on this. The most traded players in CBS leagues right now, let's rapid-fire this, my dude. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, trading for or trading away?
Trading for.
Yes! Tell me why real fast.
This is another player that people just don't like. They were so disappointed with him after saying these unrealistic, astronomical expectations last year. I was one of those people. I get it. But 200-plus games. You mentioned his production after contact. He's still in the best offense in football right now. And they're making a point to get him the ball over these last 2 weeks, even after he fumbled. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not like Darrell Williams' rushing touchdown was tilting. I get it. But at the end of the day, he's really, there's no backfield competition here. If this were any other running back in this situation, he would be untouchable on the trade block right now. So I'm all over Clyde right now. I want him on all my teams if I can get him.
I mean, if somebody were to take the name off of Clyde real fast and they said, okay, here's a running back that's stacked back-to-back 100-yard games. He's in a top-five scoring offense. He's scored in the last two games. His efficiency metrics have massively bounced back over the last 2 weeks. Would people be saying, okay, I don't want that player? No. They would say, oh, hell yes. Give me that player on every single team that I got. And that's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So love that call. George Kittle, trading for or away?
Trading for.
Okay. Robert Woods, trading for or away? It's tough.
Oh, this one's so hard.
Bobby Woods is tough, man.
I want to say hold, and I know it's a cop-out, but I don't think you can get enough for him if trading away right now. So I'd probably trade four because you can get him for a box of rocks.
Yeah. And I don't want to tease this too much, but people need to go to FTN Daily, check out our show for this week's showdown with David Jones and myself. I might be in on some Robert Woods. So I'm saying right now trade four, but maybe flip him or hold and then trade him after this week. If you head over to the show, you check it out, you might see why. Chuba Hubbard, trade away. I mean, that's the easy call, right?
That's an easy trade away, yeah.
Yeah, easy. Saquon Barkley, dear Lord, if anybody is going to put him on the block, this is a smash trade for you. Agree? Yeah.
I mean, this is now like RB1 Saquon's back.
Yeah, he's back, dude. Top five, rest of the season running back. You can make an easy argument probably for top three. Miles Sanders, if you could trade him.
I don't want anything to do with Miles Sanders. Give me a box of rocks right now. Okay.
Yeah, something. Give me a ham sandwich. It doesn't even have to be new. I'll take it. Allen Robinson is really interesting. Trading for or away?
This is somewhat similar to Robert Woods for me. I don't know. I feel like I'm too skeptical to trade for him, but I don't think I'd get enough where I want to trade him away. But I'm worried. I'm very worried. I'd rather trade him away than trade for him right now.
I agree, only because Matt Nagy continues to do Matt Nagy things, and he's talking about Andy Dalton still going to be the starter, and dear Lord, nobody needs that in their life.
Give it up, dude. Like, dude. Is this just some shtick he's doing to piss people off? Like, I don't get it.
I mean, I don't get it. Like, he sounds like a guy that's trying to prove that he's right so he keeps the job. Like, he knows that the fire is lit underneath him, and if he doesn't do anything, he's gone. I mean, yeah. All of these things we see from the presser that he had the other day. Did you see all of those cringeworthy comments where he's like, well, you know I'm still involved in all these decisions. Yeah. I mean, the Matt Nagy show, Matt Nagy thinks. I mean, he wasn't Bill talking in the third person, but he might as well have been.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, like, well, Bill did that, but Matt Nagy also calls some shots too, baby. Like, no, like, that's not, no. I'm sorry, Nagy. Like, get off it, man. These last three guys, real fast. Devin Singletary, trade four or away?
Away.
All right, we already hit Odell. And Damian Harris.
I want
trading
Damian
four
Harris.
Or away.
Damian Harris is the player I want. I mean, four carries last week. One, led the team in carries. Nobody runs on Tampa Bay. No. But what people don't understand, Damian Harris played 61% of the snaps against the Bucs. That was his highest this season. That was his season high in snaps. He has seven catches this year. That matches the amount of targets he got last year. Damian Harris is involved. Like, he's going to be a rather script dependent, and that makes sense, but there is value here. James White out for the year. They're not going to move J.J. Taylor or Ramondre Stevenson into an every third down role. Like, there is room for Damian Harris to grow a little bit. Like, Brandon Bolden's not taking this backfield over. I want Damian Harris, and nobody else wants him.
Yeah, I agree. I big agree there. Because Damian Harris, look, I've not been the biggest proponent for Damian Harris because people have loved him for years and years and years. And even when he's had smash matchups, I'm like, man, y'all love this dude. I mean, you could drive a truck through that hole. That's ridiculous. But we know two things here. The Patriots defense is still good. Their offensive line is still good. I know that they had some injuries and some guys are hitting the IR and stuff like that. Yeah. They're still going to find themselves in positive game scripts. And if you're talking about now we have Damian Harris now getting passing game work, because Brandon Bolden, it might be a lot of things. A good NFL player on the offensive side is not one of them. No, dude. Like, he looks like he's running, like, in slow motion. Like, you watch him play and I'm like,
it's like Malcolm Brown.
That's perfect. That's exactly right. You watch both these players and you're like, I mean, maybe they're just really good locker room guys.
Yeah, like what maybe on the field? Just like breakfast with the coach or something. I don't understand what's going on.
It's like the Jordan Howard corollary. You're like, he's slow. Like, he's really slow. So Damian Harris, if he shows out in the passing game, can he earn even more work? I like that call. Matt, start us off here, man. Player that you're going to be trading away.
I'm going to address the elephant in the room right away, and it's Cordero Patterson. He was my number one waiver wire claim for the sole reason of selling him.
Yep.
So I understand that, like, a team is now utilizing Cordero Patterson to his strengths. That's awesome. I can applaud that. But at the end of the day, played 30% of snaps in week four. He ran 12 routes and scored a touchdown on 25% of those. When there's unsustainable, and then there's that. That's not sustainable. He ran just about a third of the amount of routes that Mike Davis ran. Like, he's being utilized, and when he's on the field, they are designing plays for him. His biggest play was a completely broken play. I don't see him being a player that they all of a sudden give more than a 50% of the snap share to. Like, he's going to be a 30 to 40% snap share, 10 to 15 routes a game. His efficiency right now is insane. It's going to come down. He will still have boom weeks, but at the end of the day, like, I just don't feel comfortable. And the thing is, you will never be able to get what you can get for him now again this season. So no. I'm all over trading away Cordero Patterson. And the thing is, like, I'm still like Mike Davis, if you look at how, like, his snaps, his routes run, like, those are numbers you want out of your RB2. Is it efficient? Is it sexy? Absolutely not. That's never been Mike Davis. But it's sure as shit also not going to be Cordero Patterson. Like, this, it's going to drop off at some point. And if you blew all your fab on Cordero Patterson, at least get something in return for it.
Please, please get rid of him. Like, we can't stress this enough. I could reach this screen and hug you right now for this call. Like, this is the massive, massive sell opportunity for all the reasons you talked about. The dude has scored five freaking touchdowns. Right. And Mets, you talked about his routes from last week. Here's his routes game by game. 7, 15, 16, 12. These are not sustainable numbers, people. For a guy that, like, he's
five
not...
touchdowns.
He's 20th. What? He's 20th in weighted opportunity. In case you're wondering, that's not good. This is not sustainable. He's not going to stay as a guy that is going to be this productive the entire season. And dear Lord, if he is, it will be the most outlier efficiency season that we have seen in some time, maybe ever.
It's his ninth NFL season. Like, this isn't like a third year breakout here.
It's not. Like, it's crazy. And then Wayne Gallman was active last week. If he gets even more involved, then you're looking at, like, do these some of these routes get even cut further? So it's like, there's so many different outs for Patterson to fail moving forward that it's like, how do you even build the bull case for him? You know, okay, he's super talented. Does he earn more work? I mean, if that's the case, then why are they not giving him more work? If that's the case, then why are they not moving Mike Davis to the side more? If that's the case, then why is Wayne Gallman now getting snaps and active and getting carries? Like, if all of these things are the case, then why is that not the, like, why are we talking about this? Like, because I don't understand it, because, like, Cordarrelle Patterson is a massive trade away right now. Yeah. Like, if you can get any of these guys we're talking about, I would smash except, like, Leonard Fournette. You can't get CeeDee Lamb, but if you even could give like receiver three and Cordarrelle Patterson and get Daryl Henderson back, that is a deal you need to be doing yesterday.
Yeah.
So love that call for all the reasons we stated. Another guy I got to get up in here, and he's living off of touchdowns. This is probably an easy call, but again, there's a lot of different ways to craft trades and a lot of different ways to get players on and off your squads. Okay. If you can package James Conner with anybody else and get an upgrade at a position, hell, get a wide receiver, get somebody like a buy low, you need to be doing it today. James Conner is living off of touchdowns. Back-to-back two touchdown weeks. And there are people that chase the box scores. There are people that do chase, even in this day and age, Mets, that do chase fantasy point production. They look at these different types of things. That might not be in my leagues or your leagues, but it does exist. And so if you can happen to get rid of James Conner, who right now is the RB24 in fantasy right now, we talk about routes. He ain't running a man. Two routes, four routes, five routes, seven routes. He's not involved in the passing game. Chase Edmonds, we didn't talk about here because Adam and I brought him up last week as a massive buy low. You need to go get him because people are still sleeping on his RB1. Yes, people, he is an RB1. RB1 production. James Conner's the other side of the coin, man, because if any of these touchdowns go to Chase Edmonds and James Conner doesn't do that, he's not literally doing anything else in this offense. Package him with another player and get rid of him today. What's another player you got to get up in here, Mets?
It's Kareem Hunt. Have Kareem Hunt and I get him on my teams. I'm not saying that you need to do anything you can to sell him, get him off your team and sell low. But I just think his stock is very high right now, and we're going to see a bit of a shift back to the norm that we expected in this Cleveland backfield. You know, Nick Chubb still had 20-plus carries in two straight weeks, has yet to have a touchdown since week two. And, you know, Kareem Hunt is viewed as the receiving back. Kareem Hunt has had three or less receptions in three or four games this year. Like, the production's coming on the ground. 14 carries for 69 yards and a touchdown, 10 for 81 in a touchdown in week three. You got the goal line carry in week four. I just don't think those opportunities are going to be here all year for him. Like, that is Nick Chubb's bread and butter at the end of the day. We've seen Cleveland mess around like their third string running back, fourth string running back too. I don't know what they're doing, but at the end of the day, I mean, from a DFS perspective, I'll be rostering Nick Chubb every week until he blows up. His price is just too cheap. And when he does, no matter how involved Kareem Hunt is, it's going to come at some expense to Kareem Hunt's production. And, you know, we've seen with the Browns in the past, when Nick Chubb gets going, their game plan is just give him the ball, get out of the way. That's it. Every week. And that's going
to be. He's gotten 20-plus touches in every damn game. Correct. Like, we could have brought him Nick Chubb as a trade for. Because, I mean, like, the box scores haven't been massive.
It's just, like, the yards. Like, Nick Chubb hasn't had less than 83 yards on the ground once this year, and his stock is still very low right now.
It is.
I'm at a point now where I'd just rather sell high on Kareem Hunt and package him with like, if you could somehow get, like, I don't think someone would do it, but say trade Kareem Hunt and Cordarrelle Patterson for Nick Chubb. Why not? Like, you can package Kareem Hunt with someone to get, like, an upgrade. Like if you can package Kareem Hunt and a flex worthy starter for an RB1 or high end wide receiver two or wide receiver one, do it.
Yep.
I don't want people to think I don't have confidence in Kareem Hunt going forward, though. If you have him and you don't move him, he's still a viable play. I'm not saying he's not. Yeah. I just wouldn't expect this type of volume that he's getting every week anymore. At some
point. No, and we chase the volume, and Chubb is getting the volume. We just haven't seen the blow-up weeks. And some of this also, if people are not aware, I've been in the weeds every single week running our DFS game by game, and like Cleveland's offensive line is not healthy right now. Like J.C. Treader has barely been making it to play every single week. Same with Jedrick Wills. Same with Jack Conklin, who I think was finally off of the injury report. So this offensive line has still been blocking pretty damn well, but they are not reached their peak. And some of that has to go with the efficiency. And we look at their roles. I mean, I haven't gotten into the route data for after week four, but walking into week four, Chubb and Hunt had run almost the same number of routes. You just saw Hunt actually getting targets on those routes. So it's not like Chubb has been a total zero in the passing game. I know the targets haven't been there, but we chase usage, and the usage has been there outside of the targets. Targets come back, then Nick Chubb is going to see extra life in the passing game as well because he's been out there running the routes. So for all these different factors, it's get rid of Kareem Hunt if you can. If you can't, then that's fine. You're probably going to get anywhere from low-end RB2 to high-end flex-worthy production the rest of the season. But if you can sell high on him, then go do it and go get Nick Chubb on your teams. Yep. Because we haven't seen the blow-up weeks from Nick Chubb. He hasn't been terrible, not any stretch of the imagination, but he hasn't had the blow-up weeks yet, and people are low on him. Any other players you want to get up in here before we get up out of here, Joe?
Zach Moss is one who I think, you know, I'm going to echo Meany's sentiment in his article that you hit on. Like, if you are thin at running back, Zach Moss is fine. But at the end of the day, like, he does have 4 touchdowns in 3 games. That's an unsustainable rate. Like, we talked about Cordarrelle Patterson. He's also, yes, he's playing for one of the most high-tempo electric offenses, but he's also playing for an offense that passes more than it. Like, they're going to continue to pass for 4 quarters, regardless of the game script. I think week 4 was a bit of an outlier just because of the weather, but still saw the same amount of carries as Devin Singletary in week 4. Josh Allen is still going to be the goal line option, the number one goal line option. And, you know, 56% of snaps in 2 straight weeks, like, I don't think Zach Moss is ever going to be the player that gets you that 60%, 65% plus snap share, which is what you really want in every week starter. Like, for all we know, they could flip back to Devin Singletary, Devin Singletary has looked good when he's been on the field.
He's looked very good.
Which nobody wants to hear, but Devin Singletary has looked good when he's on the field. They ride the hot hand, and Zach Moss isn't punching it in at the goal line. It's going to be Devin Singletary. I just think there's still too much volatility to trust Zach Moss on a week-to-week basis.
I like that call. I like that call a lot because I think the Moss is a guy that I think that there's a lot of positive sentiment around him. And if you can go package him, like, I think it's probably a really easy deal to do. And maybe I'm wrong on this, Matt, but I feel like it's an easy deal to do. Like, if you can get Moss and a wide receiver 3 and go get Chase Edmonds. Like, does that feel like that would probably be some low-hanging fruit? Like, I think that people are sleeping on how good Chase Edmonds has been so far this year.
I completely agree. But
like, he's been an RB1, and nobody's valuing him that way at all.
I excluded him from my buys because I was hesitant on, like, will people actually sell low on him? Like,
maybe I'm reading it wrong, but I kind of feel like they're not giving the man his due, and he hasn't scored touchdowns yet. If he scored touchdowns in all these games, he would be a top 5 running back. That's literally where we're at.
The pace at which the Cardinals play is perfect for a running back like Chase. It's sure as shit not perfect for James Conner. But the guy's running through mud to get in the end zone. Chase Edmonds is the perfect back for this Cardinals backfield. When you go in with the understanding that he's not going to be a 20 carry per game back, he's going to be a 15 touchback, high efficiency. And like you said, that scoring comes around, your window's closed.
It's gone. And so you got to be getting rid of these players, getting them on your rosters, all these different players. Again, you need to head over to FTN Fantasy, check out Meany's article. Dude listed, like, I mean, I swear to God, like 50, 60 names in this article on multiple different formats that you need to be getting players. Before we get up out of here, Joe, got to mention, if people are 0-4, they might be staring at 0-5, and I pray that you're not after this week. But if you are, don't lose hope. Don't just close the app. Don't delete it. Head over to Top Prop Sports right now. Import your league from ESPN or Yahoo. You still can have money on the line, still can have fun. Use this league. Get your buy-in money back. You can create head-to-head contests today based off your redraft rosters. Get signed up with the promo code FTN. Put some money behind this. Get that buy-in back. Adam and I are going to be back later this week. He's going to be discussing the DFS game-by-game breakdown and walking you through starts and sits. Fade the Chalk Live. We are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at Chalk Fade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.